Okay, good morning. Today is June 29th. It's 10:16. I'm here with Burdette Lawrence, the registrar for the City of Suffolk, and we are going to conduct a VFAF registrar survey form for 2022. Thank you for seeing us, BJ.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, question number one. Is this your first interview with VFAF, Virginia's for American First?
Yes.
And we very, very appreciate that you're doing it.
Thank you.
Question number two. What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
I would say my biggest concern is having election officials who are electronic savvy. Election officials who can deal with the electronic poll book, opening, running it, setting up the voting machines, and being able to troubleshoot any minor issues that come up. Most of the time, any minor issue, anything that comes up with the electronics, they seem to be lost. Mm-hmm. And they're simple things that we have covered in training. So I need, my biggest concern is having election officials who can retain the instructions dealing with the electronics.
On a side note to that right there, my voting precinct was Elephant's Fork. Ours is Elephant's Fork.
Okay.
So when we went to the recent primary, there was some delay in getting the precinct mm-hmm. open because of the custodian that's doing some work mm-hmm. in the school. So I saw that the chief there, and I don't know what his name is.
Kevin Sparks.
Kevin Sparks. Okay, that's one of the bright spots you
yes,
told
sir.
Me about. They had no problem. They had to move their equipment from mm-hmm. the gym to the cafeteria mm-hmm. and get everything up and running. And I think they did it in less than a half an hour. And mm-hmm. you know, there wasn't a big line outside, but the fact that they could get it repositioned and put it in another place and get it up and running quick, that's a good
testament. He's one of my shining stars, and he's new. That was his first election. So if I could just clone him 30 times,
we would be
fine. And, you know, and that issue was an anomaly. That was because we had a lot of issues because of that primary being set at Juneteenth. And people wanting that holiday, people wanting to be off. So mm-hmm. our office received a lot of pushback because of that.
Well, that's the state law now. We had the primaries mm-hmm. on that day, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Maybe they need to come back and revisit that.
I wish they would.
Are there, question number three, are there any other major concerns?
No major concerns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Question number four, do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No issue, nothing missing?
Nothing that
missing.
I can foresee. No, we have plenty of poll books, plenty of voting machines. We're working on adding more offices of election. We have plenty of training. And added training as we get closer. If an election official calls and says, hey, I want to just, you know, do a little more training. We're open to that. We have that set up and ready for them, hands-on.
Like a just-in-time training thing?
Yes.
So you are currently taking applications because we're understaffed in the offices of election, you're still taking applications?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. I don't think that will ever stop.
Okay.
It'll just be a cutoff as far as their ability to get training. Once we get to the point where, hey, we can't do any more training, then we'll still receive applications, but they just won't be able to work for that election.
Okay.
And we'll use them for the next election.
Question number five. Do you have an adequate number of precinct staff that meet the requirements of having equally declared Republicans and Democrats?
No, not yet. We're working on that.
Could you elaborate on how you're working on that a little bit?
Well, we're more in touch with the party chairs, particularly the Republican Party chair, mm-hmm. because we're heavily Democrat or unaffiliated.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the unaffiliateds, if we press them, they'll say, well, I'm actually such and such, and then they'll declare, but the majority will not. So I'm in touch with the Republican Chairman Dawn Jones,
mm-hmm.
and she's sending, and as well as Miller, as well as yourself. So we're upping that and increasing that.
We're trying to do the best we can to support that.
It's working.
Question number six. Did each precinct in your county or city have partisan observers for the last election, which would be the primary election? No.
No, they didn't.
Question number seven. Does the county health department send a list of deceased people to your office every month so that they can be removed from the voter rolls?
No. We receive that information from the Department of Elections.
How often do you receive that?
Every month.
Every month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number eight. I'll reword it that a little bit. What actions do you take when a relative notifies you that a family member is deceased and needs to be dropped from the voter rolls?
If they send it to us in writing, then we take that and we remove them, and we scan that notice, that form of notice, into the deceased person's record so we can account for why we remove them. If someone calls and says that, we request that they put it in writing.
Okay.
And then we can scan it into their record, that written correspondence.
Am I going too fast for you? Question number nine. During the last election cycle, primary or general, did you have complaints from voters that someone had voted in their name? For example, was a mail-in ballot received and the voter claimed they did not cast the mail-in vote? Was there any, quote, you already voted, unquote, scenarios?
No. We had a person to come in, which was right before our eyes. A young lady came in and she voted. And then she waited a number of hours and came back again and tried to vote again.
Mm.
But we knew what she was doing because her hair style was very unique. It was an African hairstyle with braided with beads in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one that I know happened because I was in the room.
That was during the early vote season?
Yes.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question, question number 10. Do your absentee voter drop boxes have video monitoring that is monitored 24/7? If so, who is reviewing the video to ensure there are no issues?
Well, yes, it does have 24-hour monitoring, and the staff monitors it.
Okay.
We have that app, I guess you will call it, or that program on every computer, of staff computers.
So.
And we can run it back and forward.
Oh, great! Because I was going to go forward a little bit. So when your office hours close at 4:30 and you come back in the next day at 8:30,
even from Friday to Monday.
Okay, so somebody's looking at all that time that you're not.
We
here.
Just run it back real quick.
Okay.
We start back from when the office closes at 4:30. We just put it on a fast run and just let it run and see, what's happened at all three boxes.
Can I expand a little bit more? So. Mm-hmm. So in light of recent issues in the society right now, right? If there's any anomalous conditions that you see from the video or with the collection of the ballots from the drop boxes.
You mean like if we see someone bothering with the box?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or let's say, like in our case, the airport. We don't usually get anything there until the election week at all, right? So let's say the first week. You're getting 100 ballots a day out of that box. I mean, what will we do for that? Would you look at the video, see what's going on? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, question number 11. Are all drop boxes emptied with witness of sworn officers of the election with more than one sworn officer present?
Yes.
Okay. Are party chairmen notified of when drop boxes are empty to have the option of sending partisan observers?
No.
Okay.
Because, and we don't, I mean, I've never even thought of doing that because that's our day-to-day work. And so it could be someone running out to lunch and they'll say, hey, we need to check the box. And so two will go to lunch.
Okay.
Or it may be we are inundated and it's almost 4:30, you know, 4:15. Hey, somebody, we need to go check that box. So two people run out and someone has to stay until they get back. So it's not something that
it's not a set time every day that you'll
go.
And to expand a little bit more,
especially in November,
there's a chain of custody requirement, right, that you guys sign off and fill out, right?
Because what we do is we rent a vehicle. Mm-hmm. We get a vehicle from Fleet, and we just keep all of that paperwork, all those bags, all those seals in the truck. So it's there. We just get it and go.
So that's interesting. So all your bags and seals in the truck, so are they for the collection of the ballots in the drop box? So when you got the...
We have one for airport, one for North Suffolk Library. We don't need a bag here.
Right.
But we keep those two bags. They have the seals, and we have the dedicated paperwork. The paperwork is specific to each box.
And those bags are identical to the ones that somebody would bring in on, could put them in on election day, right? The blue zippered bags, is that what we're talking about?
Mm-mm.
It's a separate bag?
Mm-hmm. Different bag.
So the ballots, when they're put in that, when they're collected from the drop box on that day, and they're put in the bag, they have a chain of custody
mm-hmm.
with them, right? So they come back and mm-hmm. they go.
And I get that.
And we either decide.
And then because they've signed, and then I sign what they say is in the bag. I certify that.
Okay. And then those ballots are determined that day whether or not they're going to, if it's at the end of the day, they're not going to be processed, they're not going to be scanned, or they're probably going to be secured in a locked container.
No, we work them that day.
You do work them that
mm-hmm.
day? You scan them all into the,
mm-hmm.
wow, okay.
Into Virus. Now, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking they're going into the tabulator.
No.
Okay.
No, that's not our job. That's CAP job.
Okay.
So our job is to enter it into Virus that we have received it. Whether it counts or not belongs to CAP.
So after you enter them into Virus, what happens to the ballots then?
We put them in the ballot room. They're locked in the ballot room.
Locked in, that's what I want
to hear. Unless they need to be cured.
Okay.
If they need to be cured, then I have another set of work to do in contacting the voter.
Right, right.
So but all of that information has to be entered. And it's better to do it when you get the ballot.
Because you never know what the next day is going to come.
Exactly.
There could be some anomalies that drive you somewhere else.
Or but, you'll get so many, you're in it, you know, it just gets out of hand. You know, I'm thinking of November.
Right.
It's better to do it right then, even if it takes you, you know, a little over time to do it.
I agree. Question number 12. Did the party chairman of both parties get invited to calibrate the machines during the last election, primary or in general election?
Yes.
Okay. Did they accept and attend?
No.
So I know I attended the logic and accuracy testing prior
to
the primary.
For the machine, did you come for the voting machine?
I came for the one for the primary.
Voting machine.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and Mr. Baker was here.
The Benjamin Franklin print.
Yeah,
it
was you and Mr. Baker. Yeah, but we did send it to...
To both parties, mm-hmm. okay. Question number 13. How are your voting machines stored and secured between elections?
They're stored here, and they're secured in the back room down that back hall.
In a locked office,
yep.
I'm sure.
They're all locked.
Are they always in a locked storage facility?
Always. And we do have a chain of custody as to anybody that has to go in that room, even if they have to go in the room to work on the heating and air conditioning system in this building.
Uh-huh.
They can't just go in there. We have to have someone there with them.
Okay. Who has access to where the voting machines are stored?
Staff and the custodian.
Okay. Are there logs maintained of who accessed the storage area?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Where are those logs stored?
In the locked AB room.
Okay. Who has access to those logs?
Staff.
Now,
nobody has a key to that room but myself, but I can let them in and out when they need to.
Okay. That's great.
Because I've been an absentee coordinator for years, so.
So they're always under control.
Absolutely.
Okay. Question number 14, how are your voting machines and ballots stored and secured once they are sent to the voting precinct?
They have places at each precinct that are locked that the custodian lets the staff, the election officials in and out each time.
What do you mean by places?
Cabinets, storage areas,
okay.
Closets.
I know.
And the delivery guys know where those are and they make sure they're in and locked, and then the custodian lets the election officials in. But that equipment is stored in a locked cage. It's not like they just pack a bag in and pack the ballots in and pack the poll books in. It's not like that. That stuff is secured before it leaves the building.
Yeah, it's great that you expanded on that, because I know Petersburg registrar last year, she took us back in to see her, where she keeps her equipment locked up, and she has mm-hmm. a cage locked up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a chain of custody form that goes around with those cages once they're delivered to a precinct and they're unlocked? Is there, you know, there's no, okay.
No. Okay. The key to that equipment, the election equipment that contains the keys go home with the election officials at the last training. So there are no keys to open any of that stuff. It's with the chief.
Okay.
So all they do is deliver.
Okay. Who delivers the voting machines to the voting precinct, and what is the procedure?
Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin does?
Well, is his team, and they come here, and we line everything up. They line everything up that Sunday before the election. Then Monday morning, they're here to pick it up, and they deliver all day Monday to all the precincts.
So let's frame the picture a little bit. So a second party mm-hmm. comes in, picks the equipment up from your office, and then they take them and put them into precincts. Mm-hmm. Is there a chain of custody form for no. transferring a machine to them and them to the precinct? None? Mm-hmm. Okay.
They just contact me all day and say, I'm here.
So actually, we're following, once you give it to them, Ben Franklin's got it, they're mm-hmm. following the procedure to put it in. Who delivers the ballots to the voting precinct, and what is the procedure?
The ballots are locked in the cages.
Does Benjamin Franklin have access to open the cages, or they just...
The cages are with the chief, and we have a spare here in the office. They can't open it.
So they can't open it. Nope. All they can do is transfer the cage to the precinct.
That's all they can do.
Okay. I like that. Question number 17. Does your county or city utilize touchscreen voting or paper ballots?
Yes. Both.
You use both?
You know, the screens are touch. Because of the...
touchscreen voting. I guess it's that where you touch the screen and vote for the person.
But we did that a few years ago.
We used to have that. Yes. But no, now it's paper.
Right. So we're using paper ballots only.
Yes.
I don't know about the capability for the handicap to come in. I think there's a different... Franklin went through that.
But they do have a screen on the back.
Right, for the handicap, I think, to use.
But not for the public.
Okay.
But we do, but because we have that handicap screen...
You have that option for touch screen for the
handicap. Only
handicaps.
For handicap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. I watched it. I watched the whole process.
Okay.
Question number 18. When the post-election day canvass is conducted and there are discrepancies, are there counts of ballots themselves or just a reading of the computer-generated report?
Oh, it's a reading of the computer-generated report. You can't touch those ballots without a court order. Now, last year, there was a discrepancy because we had a precinct, they had two paper ballots, and they didn't count them. But they had in their incident report that there were two paper ballots, and they left them in the envelope. And so the question was, did they count them and then put them in the envelope, or did they leave them in the envelope? Are they saying they left them in the envelope and never counted them? So we had to get a court order to open them.
Mm.
And they had not been counted. So that's the only time that we would mess with those ballots.
Okay. So other than that, it's the computer-generated report,
yes.
The statement of results.
Yes, those tapes.
Okay.
Yes.
Question number 19. House Bill 150 that goes into effect July 1st of this year requires that public body meetings, such as the electoral board meetings, to be posted on an official government website within 7 days of the final approval of minutes. Mm-hmm. This is in addition to existing requirements that meeting dates and times and locations must also be posted in advance. How is your office meeting this requirement? It's good.
Well, we'll meet it July 1st.
Okay. So can you expand on how you, well, you want to put it on your website or update it there?
You say it must be posted on an official government website within 7 days of the final approval of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find an official government website and post it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Question number 20. Senate Bill 211 and House Bill 55, mm-hmm. both of which go into effect the same day, July 1st, 2022, require that the state registrar of vital records transmit a weekly list of deceased individuals. Previously, this was monthly. General registrars will be required to promptly cancel the registrations of persons known to be deceased or otherwise disqualified from voting. How will your office address this new requirement, and who will be in charge in making sure that registrations are promptly canceled?
This is not new to us. It must be just making it a law that it be done. But we cancel registrations as soon as we receive notice that someone is deceased.
Okay.
Like I said before, you know, we require that in writing so that we can scan it to that person's record.
Okay, so no change in the policy that you take?
Not really.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, that concludes the interview. We thank you very much, and we will have this uploaded as soon as we can, and I will forward you the website when I find out it's uploaded so you can take a look at it.
I hope I've added some clarity.
Thank you very much, BJ.
Thank you.
I love the process. Listening to